Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday to welcome a guest. But before we talk about that, I just want to say thank you to all the veterans who are in our church. Thank you for giving of yourself so that we can flourish. Thank you for all the many hours that you have spent securing our freedom. And we just praise the Lord for you and just want to bless you today and thank the Lord for your faithfulness. Okay, today is Friday, my favorite day on the podcast, many of your favorite day as well. And we have a special treat that Claire Hills is going to read for us today. Claire and her husband, Chris, have Argie, and they have one on the way. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. She'll read for us, and then she and I will sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Claire, for joining the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. Our first reading is 1 Samuel 4, 1 through 11. The Philistines capture the Ark. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat upon us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "We're in trouble. Nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods?" "They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the desert. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Psalm 11, for the director of music of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, "Flee like a bird to your mountain"? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Now let's turn to Hebrews 9:11. The blood of Christ. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of the goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves, together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll on all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. It was necessary, then, for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Thank you, Claire, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. Tell me a little bit about your family.
I am married to Chris Hills, and we have a daughter named Argentina, but she goes by Argie, and we are expecting another baby in January.
And you grew up in the church. Tell me about your parents.
My parents are Lee and Natalie Smith, and my aunt is Sharon Howard, and my uncle's Larry Howard. And I started going here when I was born and took a brief hiatus for college and a couple years after college, but I've been going here kind of my whole life.
You mentioned that you have a baby on the way. I want to hear a little bit about how you've been feeling. Do you guys have a name yet, and when you're due?
I've been feeling pretty good. I mean, my third trimester, so there's always those kind of pregnancy aches and pains, but on the whole, it's been a pretty easy pregnancy. His name will be Christopher Lee Hills Jr. after his dad, but we will call him Kit, which is kind of a classic British nickname for Chris or Christopher. So like Kit Marlowe, his full name was Christopher, and Kit Harington is an actor, and his name is Christopher. So it's kind of a trend for people named Christopher.
That is really cute. And when is your due date?
It's January 3rd, but okay. We're hoping that he comes this tax year.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit about what makes you tick. What are you into? What kind of hobbies do you have? Things like that.
Yeah. I really love spending time with family and friends, traveling, or even just kind of exploring Birmingham. I love taking long walks. So Chris and I on the weekends will pick a destination and we'll try and walk there from our house or from somewhere else in town. But we really, it's kind of city hiking, but we really just love to explore and spend time together.
Where is a certain place in Birmingham that you've hiked to or a restaurant that you thought it was fun to do?
Well, we haven't actually done this yet in Birmingham, but in Chicago, we like to walk from our apartment in South Loop all the way up to Lakeview, which if you're familiar with Chicago, it's about 5 miles there and 5 miles back, and we would walk to Jenny's Ice Cream. So now that Jenny's has opened in Lane Park, we are going to try to walk from our house in Cherokee Bend to Jenny's and get our ice cream cone and walk back and kind of recreate our Chicago city hike.
Well, and isn't that wonderful? Because you'll walk off all the calories that you intake with the ice cream.
You can definitely get the waffle cone.
Claire, you are very involved in the church. You sing in the choir. You also help with a Sunday school class. You're on the building committee, the wedding committee. Just tell me maybe how you got involved in some of that and the ways that it has blessed you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about all the different ways that I've been able to plug in here and get to know new people and serve within our community and serve outside of our church community. I'm really excited about the Grace Group Sunday school class. That is a new kind of young couples class for people. There's no real age limit on it, but for people kind of right out of college till about 35, 40. Some people have kids, some people don't, some people are engaged, and some people are married. But it's just been really fun to make some new friends and get to know some people that have recently joined the church in that kind of age range that are me and Chris's age. I love serving on the wedding committee. It's such an important and special day in our members' lives. And I've got to meet some people that I don't think I would have met before serving on the wedding committee. And people are generally, they've been to a ton of weddings, but when it's their own wedding, they're like, wait a second, who goes down the aisle first? And which side do I stand on? And kind of all those details. And it's fun to get to help them with that, even though I still get confused about those things too. And the building committee has been really fun and exciting to think about that for the future of our church, as well as getting to be in the choir. And we've been really having a great turnout after COVID with the choir, and so many people have come back to sing, and we've had some new people join the choir. And so it's been really encouraging to see how many people are interested in choral singing. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how I met Chris, was in choir at Wheaton. So
tell us that story.
Oh, it's not a huge story. it was freshman year. We had choir on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, I believe. And so it was in the afternoon, and we both had auditioned and made it into the concert choir at Wheaton. And that is where I met him. And so we were in the choir all 4 years, and we kind of became friends that way. We toured and we sang and everything. And I remember freshman year, we were sitting out in the parent section. I was sitting with my parents and he was sitting with his parents for the choir. And my mom was like, he's cute. And I was like, whatever, mom. So anyway, choir's just been a really big part of our lives. And we really enjoy singing with Kelly and all the other choir members.
And Chris also plays an instrument in the contemporary worship band. Talk a little bit about that.
He plays either guitar or bass in the contemporary worship band. So he plays lots of instruments. He's one of those people where he's like, I think I'll learn the violin today. And then, a week later he learns it. So annoying.
Yes. Claire, how did you come to faith in Christ?
So like I said earlier, I've been going to Mountainbrook Baptist really my whole life. And for people who have known me for a long time, I was kind of shy as a kid, and I was baptized when I was in the fourth grade, but it was kind of like, my friends are being baptized. And I think my parents were like, what do you think about being baptized? And so I decided, I think I'll be baptized, but I didn't really, start walking in my faith and having a relationship with God until I was in college. And I was dealing with some anxiety, and I kind of had kept that to myself. And I remember just being overwhelmed with the anxiety. And I spoke to another believer during that time in college. And that was really the first time I had talked to somebody else about it. And I asked that other believer to pray over me about the anxiety. And I just remember feeling like instantly a weight was taken off my shoulders. And I still had to work hard to not be anxious anymore. But it was just such a clear moment in time that I felt like the community, being in community with a fellow believer and sharing my struggles and praying over each other, I felt like God was really there. He was really listening. And I started doing a daily devo and writing in a journal, a prayer journal. And that's really when I feel like I started practicing my faith.
You mentioned that you went to Wheaton College. Is there any time in your classes there that you remember that was also kind of like a God moment?
Yeah, there I had, it was a Christian college. Our motto was For Christ and His Kingdom. And so we had to take yearly Bible classes. And in my senior year Christian thought class, I remember the professor asked us to write these concentric circles. And in the middle of the circle was supposed to be something, anything that we felt like was crucial to the Christian faith and to entering the kingdom of heaven. And then in the next circle out, it was anything that we felt like was important for the Christian faith, but not crucial to salvation. And then in the third circle, there were elements of your Christian faith that are important to you in showing your faithfulness to God, and that you are trying to follow His commandments, but they don't fall into the other two circles. And then you could write things outside of the circles that you felt like maybe were elements of the Christian faith that you didn't feel like fit in any of the three categories. And in our class, we had people who were Catholic, people who were Greek Orthodox, people who were Baptist, and all different denominations. And what we kind of all decided on was that in the middle circle was everybody really needed to believe in order to be saved that Jesus was the Son of God and that he came to earth and lived as a man and that he died on the cross to save us from our sins and was resurrected on the third day and now sits on the right hand of God. So that was in the middle circle. We also felt like believing in the Holy Trinity was in that middle circle. But really, you know, other things that we felt like were important, but that different denominations do differently, they didn't fall into that center circle. So, you know, how you're baptized or how you take communion, or it really helped me feel some clarity about what is essential to the Christian faith and kind of establish some building blocks about how I view people of other denominations and really what is essential to our Christian faith.
Do you have a favorite scripture or a favorite song that you might share with us?
Yeah, actually my favorite scripture and song are kind of related. My favorite passage of scripture is Psalm 139, which is the scripture about how God knows when you come and when you go and how he knit you together in your mother's womb, which especially means a lot to me as I'm pregnant and I'm thinking about how God already knows Kit, who's inside me and who is being created in his image. And that gives me a lot of peace thinking about, you know, mistakes that I've made. He already knows the words that are going to come out of my mouth. He knows my actions before I do them. And he has made me this way and he wants to help grow me into a stronger Christian and a person more like Jesus. But he still knows the sinner that I am deep down. And the song You Know Me by Bethel Music is based on Psalm 139.
Tell me a little bit about that song or read some of the lyrics for us.
So just the opening lyrics are, you have been and you will be, you have seen and you will see. You know when I rise and when I fall, when I come or go, you see it all. You hung the stars and you moved the sea and still you know me.
That's beautiful. Claire, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing Mountain Brook Baptist Church together as a community to serve you and to glorify you. Please be with all of those who have fought and served for our country today on Veterans Day. Please bless them and their families. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus, to come into the world and save us from our sins. It is in his name that I pray. Amen.